I've just thrown out what I was going to say, actually. And I'm going to ignore your questions, Sean, because I actually don't want to talk to you about funding and strategies, because I think my colleagues have covered the main points in that. So I thought what I might do is try and reflect on what I've heard today, because my mind is really buzzing, like yours, melted, as we would say. My head's melted with what I heard today, and really maybe say how it speaks to the work that we do in NICFA, but maybe more importantly, to issues in civic society that we're struggling with, I suppose, at the moment. For those of you who don't know us, we're the Council for Voluntary Action, so we're the umbrella organisation for whatever you want to call it, community sector, voluntary sector, third sector, NGOs, I don't care. That's us. And we've got about 1,200 members. They're very different. We keep saying our membership is a broad church, and I suppose that reflects some of the challenges actually we have as an organisation in engaging in the issues that we've talked about today. But actually what binds them in the kind of the beating heart of our sector is it's about class issues, and it's about socio-economic issues and things around economic justice and social justice. And in particular at the moment in NICFA, we're focusing on issues around economic justice and class. And it's really weird that I think you were the first person to say the word class that I heard today. We talked about it a lot, but actually we never said the word. I think because I missed the first part of the morning. But anyway, there's no structure to this, and there's no particular order either. One of the things that really struck me, the thread that ran throughout today, and it's actually running throughout the work that we're doing at the moment, and even writing our submission to the HAAS talks and how long that took me, I found it a really difficult process because every word was loaded. We've got to this situation where I kind of write and I go, and I don't want to offend anybody, and then we had John Larkin, who just went woo, and then you kind of thought, I don't care, I'm going to say what I like. So I'd like to be somewhere in between the two. I think that's a place where I'd like to get to. But the idea about the past being about the present and commemoration being contemporary, I think is framing a lot of civic discussion at the moment here, and it's in a way, if we let it, it will neuter it. It will make it so neutral, like it is at the moment, that we actually won't get to the heart of the matter anymore. And I don't want to call it political correctness, because it's not. I think it's sensitivity and hypersensitivity. And so I feel sometimes that hamstrings what my organisation can say, and we're really struggling at the moment to find a way to deal with those tougher issues. And we're seeing this playing out in the talks, but also I think maybe this idea about past being about present, also in issues around victims and survivors, organisations and injured, the people who were injured during the conflict, and how their contribution, I suppose, to the debate about being about the people they lost, but actually about the very real issues that they're feeling at the moment. And I suppose the points that were made this morning about memory and what we remembered and what we've forgotten, I think are really important, and how that's tethering us to what is essentially the history of the Troubles, according to my ma. So it's kind of what we're learning and what we believe and what we've chosen to forget. And there were two quotes that really stood out for me, in terms of one community saying we need to step up and own our history, and the other one saying we won't be the generation to fail Ulster. And this completely tethering us back to our own version of what we learnt at our kind of mummies and grandparents' knee. We heard this morning from Orla about the role of family, and I wonder about that being positive as well as being negative. And some of the things that Neil said about the young people he worked with and the history that they're learning, and also the point about they're bored with it and they don't want to know. I have a 15-year-old nephew who was born in the year of the Good Friday Agreement and finds it shocking that my school bag was ever searched by a soldier. You know, he kind of says, did you not know your rights? And I thought, my goodness, that's a wonderful thing for him to feel, but he can't comprehend. He also won't believe me that there was ever any. Well, he didn't until he took over in the Republic of Ireland. He wouldn't believe me there was ever a Roy King. For him, it was all about the Robbie. So that's definitely a generational thing. And I suppose if we're talking about history and commemoration, I don't know, Sean, if you planned this, but 22nd of November is a really striking day for us to be having this conversation. You're going to claim that you did, because it's also the day that the first power sharing executive was set up in 1973, so on the 22nd of November. It's also the day C.S. Lewis passed away, and the death of John F. Kennedy passed away, and this morning the really sad news of Father Alec Reid passed away this morning as well. So 22nd of November is an interesting day, I think, for us to be having this conversation on. I told you that there was absolutely no structure to this. We talked about family and we've talked about individuals. What I'm really interested in is community and what role that we have played in creating the problem, perpetrating the problem, and trying to deal with the problem. And that really was really brought home to me very recently. Our offices are very purposefully on the interface in North Belfast between Limestone Road and the New Lodge. And so at lunchtime, we have the joyful walk around Tesco's and then we walk back to our office. And a couple of weeks ago, I was doing that and there was a young fella running rapidly past me. He couldn't be more than 8 or 9. And a wee lad chasing him on a bike and the wee lad yelled, "Get out of my community!" And I just thought, my goodness, what have we done? Get out of my community. And a word that should be so positive was turned into something incredibly negative there. And I really wonder, it's a big challenge for my sector in how we deal with that. And I've just made myself very unpopular with all my members now. The other thing, I suppose, was our lack of ability, and by this I mean all of us, to deal with segregation or even to name it. And it's interesting that Siobhan and people refer to the Obama, President Obama speech, because that's what I was going to refer to that as well, because he isn't known for actually talking about his past in terms of segregation and the difficulties that he faced, but he did that day in the Waterfront Hall, and he spoke about integrated education. And the next day, the message coming from the educational infrastructure here was, "What the hell would you know? We have a brilliant education system. Go back to America, but if you wouldn't mind leaving some investment, that'd be great." So we were just absolutely shut down and refused to recognise it. And then Siobhan showed that those images of young people and what was being said about those children, feral, shameful, hateful. And yet my generation hasn't changed any of the structures that allowed that to happen in the first place. So we're doing the same things and expecting kids to react differently to them. We still have segregated housing, we still have segregated schools, we still have segregated communities. And colleagues from John from the Nerve Centre, their work clearly shows that. So we're doing the same things and expecting different results, and we all know what that's the definition of. And then I suppose the big thing for our sector, I mean, I talked about class issues and social and economic justice, and really the things that were covered this morning about the tension between and the conversations being framed around moral and social and economic issues. And there are these legendary bread and butter issues that we all purport to be interested in. But I really wonder about that, because up until now we haven't reflected them in the voting. What we might see though is people actually deciding not to register and not to vote next time round, and then conversations are going to happen in a much more civic arena, sort of a bit like what's happened with HAS, and how the conversation has moved actually from what political parties are saying to what civic society organisations are saying, and that's quite interesting for us. How long have we got left? 2 minutes, okay. And I have two quick points then. I'm one about being, I don't think I can emphasise enough, I'd be really careful about saying this because I don't want to over-egg it. We keep getting accused by ministers of being fear-mongers. But actually Siobhan's point about twin speed delivery of peace and the division of the peace dividend and young people in communities who have always faced division and deprivation still facing it, and the people who are circling around them and saying, "We told you this wouldn't work, this democracy devolution thing, there is another way, come with us." That is really an issue. And I don't want to over-egg it, but it's there. It's there in all conflicts, post-conflict situations. And it's something that we need to be really, I think, attuned to. And finally, I guess there's a theme around the civic forum was mentioned, and the idea of civic debate. And one point that was made that really spoke to this was the points that Catherine and Gavin were making about our politicians saying immigration is good because migrants work really hard. So it wasn't, there's no vision of what a good society might look like here, whether it's morally good or structurally good or functionally good. It's about it's always about function, it's always about structure, and it's always about what's the easiest thing to comment on. So there's no idea about migrants and diversity being good for them, good in itself. It's kind of about, well, you know, they work really hard in chicken factories in Dungannon, which is a very narrow interpretation of that. And we see that playing out in other areas of civic debate. And the kind of reluctance to engage in any, I suppose, kind of participative conversation. The absolute shutdown of any discussion on the civic forum is a classic example of that. If you want to see it in printed form, read Brian Feeney's article this week on the absolute vilification of those people who sat on the civic forum. He called them parasites. He implied that they got paid. He absolutely just ran a horse and cart through any kind of idea. And he's not alone. And I'd say he's expressing the views of a lot of politicians when he was writing that. So in terms of civic debate, we're really, really interested in what was said today. And I guess the challenge for our sector is, how do we step up now and stop being neutral and try our best to be open-minded but not empty-minded in our contributions going forward?